With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/ZABE and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/ZABE today. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the ZABEcast, they say age is just a number, but in sports, age has always been undefeated. Funny, because old man Phil is the latest guy to hang a big fat L on Father Time. All that plus the single deadliest marathon in world history. Your 30-minute bonus, uncensored, back and sunburned version of the ZABEcast is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Monday, May 24, 2021. Thank you for downloading. Back from Pinehurst as Malcolm... Number 19, not 20 yet. Malcolm McLeod Memorial number 19 is in the books. Nobody arrested, no fights, no injuries, no arguments, no rain, and a wonderful time had by just about all. Lots of bad golf by lots of people. But hey, what do you expect? You don't think you're supposed to get better at recreational weekend golf, do you, as you get older? Oh, sure, Phil Mickelson just won the PGA Championship, oldest major winner ever. But your game still sucks. And by your game, I mean my game. I mean my buddy's games that pretty much all agreed, yeah, I'm about as bad as I used to be. I don't know why I'm not getting better. Well, what do you expect? As I said to my boy, Cowboy Mike, I go, you know, Mike, on Sunday, I'm working off 4.5 hours sleep. I have done basically no exercising in years now. I am in my worst metabolic health ever, and that has to change, period. And I don't play as much as I used to, and I certainly don't hit balls as much as I used to. So what did you think was going to happen on Sunday in the Calcutta where everyone's playing their own ball and you're trying as hard as you can to hopefully win a little bit of money? You're going to struggle. You're going to hit some bad shots. You're going to suck is what is going to happen. So no big shock there. More on my stupid golf trip, a little bit more. I won't bore you with the details. You woke up early. Nobody cares. I said that a lot this weekend. That was one of the phrases that paid with the group. Whenever they said, oh, hey, you know, I hit five. Yeah, who cares? You woke up early. Nobody cares. Nice par on whatever number hole it was. So Phil Mickelson wins the PGA Championship at 50 years old. Unbelievable. It is not quite the greatest golf story in history. I think number one is Francis We Met at the U.S. Open at Brookline way back when he defeated Harry Vardon and Ted Ray in an 18-hole playoff on Monday. A historical moment that was actually made into a movie. Not a terrible one either if you're a golfer. Called The Greatest Game Ever Played. There was that. I think Nicklaus at the Masters at 46 years old, albeit 4 years younger than Phil, against a shorter field on a course that rewards local knowledge a lot more than what Phil had to contend with at Kiowa, had more sentimental value to it. Although I think the feat of Mickelson winning this week was greater than Nicklaus winning at 46 of the Masters by a good margin, a good margin. I think the U.S. team's Ryder Cup comeback on Sunday at Brookline, same place as Francis We Met, is up there. I think John Daly's PGA Championship is a ninth alternate and a complete nobody in the field is an amazing story as well. And of course, Ben Hogan coming back from nearly getting flattened. Well, he was flattened as a pancake and nearly died running into a bus, a Greyhound bus coming the other direction in the foggy roads of Texas, coming back to win the U.S. Open after a year and a half of convalescing and recovery. That probably is the greatest golf story ever. But this is up there. This is really good stuff. Okay, maybe Ben Crenshaw winning the Masters. Again, the Masters is a short field. Mickelson beat the best of the best, minus Tiger, at 50 on a absolute savage course, the longest course in major championship history. Now, did they play it as far as they listed it? Probably not. But that course is an absolute beast. And Mickelson did it, despite coming into this thing with basically no form whatsoever, had not made any top 20s this year in 2021. Seemingly everyone's like, yeah, looks like Phil's pretty much done. Wait a minute. Hold the phone. And talk about a crazy first couple holes. We watched the final round. It was me, Screaming Eagle Miller, and Cowboy Mike driving home from Pinehurst. And the streaming was pretty good, although it had the typical glitches where you're like, how come we're not getting the thing? I'll turn it on. How come it's not playing through the car speakers? But we're watching it, and the first couple holes are bonkers because they're going back and forth, two-shot swing, two-shot swing, two-shot swing, first three holes. Dottie Pepper said it best. She said, this is like the Twilight Zone out here. Perfect. By the way, she's really good. She says a lot with just a little. Don't get me started on the rest of those clowns. By the way, you know my disdain for both Nabilo and Ian Baker Finch. They may be the greatest guys ever, by the way. Probably are. I cannot stand either one. Nabilo, because he's never said anything interesting in his entire analyst career on Golf Channel, on broadcasts. I know this because I listen. And I say to myself, he has said nothing interesting. And Ian Baker Finch is apparently a sweetheart of a fella, but he is so, what's the word I'm looking for? Cloying. Yes, that's the word. He is so syrupy. It's just enough already. And he, too, says things that make you shake your head. Like Mickelson, when he comes to 17, which is the absolute terror hole on that course, he's got a three-shot lead. And at the time, and Ian Baker Finch was like, yeah, you know what? Just dump it in one of those bunkers left. Just make sure you don't put it in the water. I'm like, dump it in the bunkers? In fact, I think Faldo came in to go, yeah, I think he can do better than that. There's a lot of green to be had. And by the way, you're downwind, not into the wind. So it can be done. Anyway, Ian Baker Finch, I've got no use for. Nabilo, same thing. I finally realized what drives me nuts about CBS's coverage. And it's not the fact the PGA Championship lards up their broadcast with way too many commercials per hour. I know what you're going to say. Well, you know, the Masters, they can afford to do limited commercials because they're the Masters. They got all the money in the world. You know, they don't care about money. Well, in this day and age, you kind of got to get in line. I know the PGA of America, they need this money, or they want this money for their operational expenses. This is their big event every year. But you got to do something about the amount of commercials during the PGA Championship broadcast. But here's what drives me nuts about the way CBS does it. They let Nabilo get out to break in the final nine holes of a major championship. In other words, they're cutting to break, something big has just happened or something momentous or whatever, and they let him take it out to break. No, no, no. Nance. Nance is your star. Nance is the guy. Let Nance drive the narrative, not Frank Nabilo. Kills me. Anyway, Dottie's good. The rest of them, eh. Faldo, does he even care anymore? I have no idea. Anyhow, Phil wins. He beats the modern-day Terminator, Brooks Koepka. It made Cowboy Mike very happy because he hates Bruce Koepka. He calls him Bruce on purpose. He is such an interesting personality, Koepka. He seems like he doesn't care about... He loves to win. He doesn't seem to care about the game of golf. He's not a golf nerd. He doesn't come from a worshiping of golf background. He played baseball initially at Florida State and then kind of petered out and took up golf. So he's not one of these guys like, I made models of Amen Corner as a kid because I just worshipped the game and I always wanted to be either Jack Nicklaus or maybe Tom Kite. That's not Koepka. And Koepka leans into that persona, or that's actually his persona. And Koepka is such a badass usually in majors now on Sundays. As soon as he, you know, overtook Phil on the first hole, a lot of us are like, it's over. Phil's going to collapse, and that's going to be that. Didn't happen that way. Phil Mickelson, alongside Tiger, the two greatest modern era players in golf history. I'm going to put Mickelson ahead of Norman, even though Norman was number one in the world for the longest stretch of time. And Norman has, I could look it up in the number of majors. Norman has a good handful of majors, but he doesn't have the PGA and doesn't have the US Open. And those are kind of big. And doesn't have the Masters either. Oh, wait a minute. Does he have the U.S. Open? All right. Now I got to look up Greg Norman's majors, for God's sakes. Hold on just a second. Hold, please. Greg Norman. How was your weekend, everybody? Was it good? Yes. Thank you very much. Can you tell I'm playing catch up now? Because I've been away golfing and I've only kept a loose tab on exactly what's happening in the world of sports. By the way, I really realize how much I never get away from sports during the normal course of my week and just the normal course of the year. Because the one weekend I do unplug, it is hard catching up going, okay, who won that game? Oh, yeah, I did see that. Okay, let me read more about this. All right, okay, got it. It's always a panic on a Sunday night like it is right now. Greg Norman has not won a major in the championship in the United States. Yes, that's right. He has not won. He has not won the Masters and has not won the U.S. Open. Or, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Greg Norman, 20 PGA Tour tournaments, major championships. Hold on a second. I should know this. Majors. Professional wins, 88. Best results in majors. He won the Open Championship twice. That's it. Holy shit, that's right. Greg Norman has two majors. The Open, 86 and 93. Runner-up twice in the U.S. Open, twice in the PGA, and twice, actually three times second or tied for second at the Masters. So yeah, Mickelson, I mean, you got to put him, it's Tiger and Phil in the modern golf era, and I'm going to define modern golf as when they started going away from wooden drivers. So the metal driver era on the PGA Tour, which would probably begin sometime in the late last gasp of the 80s. I want to say Curtis Strange won a U.S. Open in the late 80s with a wooden driver. I'd have to look that up. But since 1990, in the last, since Phil turned pro and then Tiger after that, Phil's accomplishments and what he has won now, six majors, has come in the Tiger era. And so he has come up short a number of times, agonizingly so. And he has been beaten by Tiger a number of times. And Norman didn't have that. Norman was amazingly consistent, world number one, best, longest, straightest driver with the small-headed clubs that was in the game, maybe ever, but a choker. So it's Tiger and Phil. And Phil's doing stuff at 50 that shouldn't be possible. Shouldn't be possible for anybody, but shouldn't be possible for a guy like him because he has overcome psoriatic arthritis. Now, he's taking medication for it. Psoriatic arthritis is kind of like rheumatoid arthritis. It's an autoimmune disease, but it also involves a skin component, and it can be really bad. He's on a biologic. I think he's on Enbrel, which I am on as well. Many people are. You see these commercials for Enbrel and Humira all the time on television, and it's been a real game changer for those with the condition, but it's no picnic, and you have to support it well with diet and exercise and everything else. Phil has clearly done that. Look at how he looks now. He has clearly dedicated himself to getting in shape and working on his game and chasing speed with his clubhead speed and hitting the ball a long way. He's carrying the ball 330 in the air at age 50. And you can say, yeah, modern equipment, huge clubheads, titanium shafts, launch monitors. He's out there with all the young bucks as well. That's dedication to your craft. The mental toughness to bring it home like he did today is amazing. You don't do this if you don't want it. And for a guy who's made as much money as him, who's 50 years old, you gotta want it. I mean, it's impressive. And I run hot and cold on Phil. Phil has had three things that I find very unlikable about him. Three episodes in his life. Golf and off the course. One is after the Ryder Cup that they lost when he was a team member of, when Tom Watson was the captain, he didn't like the fact the players didn't have as much input on the pairings. Watson was kind of old school. He's like, you go with him, you go with him. And they got their asses waxed over in Europe, over at Glen Eagles, because they didn't play well. They didn't make putts. Afterwards, Mickelson threw Watson under the bus without even blinking. And I thought that was totally uncalled for and wrong. And I don't even like Tom Watson, but that's a whole different story. The other incident was at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, where he just got frustrated and pissed off and started to slap the ball around the green and then kind of made up a joke about it afterwards and didn't get disqualified. He should have been. Very unprofessional. And then the third one was when he got the insider stock tip from Billy Walters out in Vegas, makes a bunch of money on it. They unravel the whole thing, and then he's like, okay, sorry. and had a chance to help testify on Billy Walter's behalf to help him avoid jail time. Mickelson, silent as a church mouse, didn't lift a finger for his buddy who gave him the stock tip in the first place. You can go look up stories about that. Billy Walter's not too happy about that. So I run hot and cold on Mickelson. Mickelson was he was perceived in a totally different way until social media, until he embraced it, until he started those fireside with Phil things. And then he started doing the live video as he drove down Magnolia Lane talking about hitting bombs and hellacious seeds. He really embraced it and he changed his image. Plus, I'm old enough to remember when sports writers loved to bang on Phil as the best player to never win a major because he was like 31, 32, 33 when he finally broke through and won the Masters and jumped all of 6 inches off the ground. Maybe. Now he's got 6. Now he's the oldest major winner in history. He did it staring down Brooks Koepka, a stone-cold killer, on a brutally tough golf course, hitting hellacious seeds at 50. It's amazing. It's amazing. Crowds were back as well. Wasn't that great? I know Koepka said, oh, I banged up my knee in that crowd. Shut up. You're fine. But the crowds being back and the crowds storming the fairway is an old school vestige that has to make a comeback in golf. I know it's dangerous potentially, but you go watch vintage British Open footage. Whoever's leading coming down 18, if he's got a comfortable lead, he'll hit his last shot. It's just a sea of people running onto the fairway. They've got to make a quarter, like, look out, look out. And then the player emerges. So good. Wait 2 weeks for the super spreader event for all those people unmasked together. And of course, because the pandemic dies hard, where was Amanda Baliones? A good 15 feet away from Phil interviewing him because, you know, you can never be too safe. So that's enough on Phil. Anything else I want to talk about? No, that's pretty much it. Moving on to LeBron. Oh boy, here we go. So LeBron James apparently went to a tequila promotional event for some tequila he's got a financial stake in, violated COVID protocols, according to the NBA, was apparently supposed to be vaccinated, but wasn't even that, and the NBA is going to look the other way. Well, well, well. Even guys like Charles Barkley say the NBA doesn't have the balls to suspend or make LeBron James quarantine because it's two sets of rules. And this is why the NBA, I'll say this again, it's a league that I really enjoy watching in the springtime. I really enjoy the playoffs. It is a game that I find, it's a league I find to be very entertaining. But I do not take it seriously. No. No, you cannot take the NBA seriously. I mean, you can if you want. You shouldn't, though. Because what kind of league can you trust when they have these protocols and they're making their coaches wear these stupid masks all year and then they're, you know, remember, I'm old enough to remember when old Lou Williams left the bubble to go get some hot wings at whatever that strip club was, Magic City. Yeah, there it is. Ding, Magic City. Ding? Oh, wait. I'm still getting my equipment set up. I got to get the cord. Memo to self for tomorrow morning, get the cord set up. And then, of course, the Lakers lose Game 1 to the Suns, and there was a skirmish because LeBron James, somebody dared to box him out after a missed free throw. Yes, that's right. Oh, he got undercut. I watched that play 6 times. He got boxed out. He felt Chris Paul kind of pinning his arm. Decided to execute a classic LeBron James mid-air flop, throws his hands up, throws himself to the ground, seems to land on his left shoulder, and then pretends like he's about to die. This is why I can never root for LeBron James. Unrootable. I don't deny that he is a great player. It just, you can have him. How can you root for a guy like that? And he's writhing around, and then there's a skirmish, and he's still back under the basket. Oh, my God, check and see if LeBron James is alive. Is he okay? And then he gets up, and then he walks towards the bench, and then he takes another knee again. Oh, my shoulder. You fucking flopping pussy. Stop it already. You're better than that. You should be better than that. But he's not. And so the NBA playoffs are up and running. And there's fans in attendance at some of the places to a certain capacity. And other places are going to start ramping that up as well. The Garden, 15,000 and change, although I think they made people prove that they were vaccinated to come in. It was great to see, even though they got daggered by Trae Young and the Hawks. What is the deal, by the way, with his hair? Anyone? Bueller? What is that hair? Great player, really becoming a star in this league. I thought he was a bit of a knockoff version of Steph Curry, a cheap knockoff handbag, but he is pretty fucking good. You got Carmelo Anthony doing things and getting booed. Still, it's like, wow, he's actually doing something. The Wizards had a chance to grab a 1-0 lead up on the Sixers as the one seed, and boom, they throw the game away. It's still fun to see this Wizards team actually in the playoffs and doing something interesting for the first time in forever, it seems. And of course, the Bucks survive an absolute, what is the right word? Rock fight of a game in game one. I didn't see it. We were playing golf. I've read the accounts. I know that Giannis pretty much couldn't hit anything outside of layups and dunks. I think the stat I saw, he was 0 for 13 outside the restricted area. The Bucks didn't shoot well from outside the arc either. The Heat outscored them from three-point range by like 45 points. One of the first time they've ever, you know, recorded a team that has outscored another team in three-pointers by that many points and still lost the game. Middleton with the dagger to secure game one victory. This is going to be an absolute dogfight for the Bucks in round one, and then they're going to have a hell of a fight in round two and round three if they make it that far. I got to be honest, it doesn't feel like this Bucks team is equipped to make a deep run, but we shall see. At least they didn't lose game one. That could have been disastrous for the team that knocked them out last year in the bubble or last summer. Still great to have it going on. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Man. And of course, hockey is going on, and my Capitals are out for the third straight year. Won the Cup in 2018. It was magical. They were down 3-1 in the opening round. They were down 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. They found a way to claw their way back. The rest is history. I was there for it. Amazing in Vegas. Lifelong dream. Now Alex Ovechkin goes into the offseason without a contract. Everyone says, nah, they'll get it done. He's working without an agent. Ted wants to keep his star there. They're going to figure something out. A reasonable 2-3 year deal. He's still very good. Talk about a guy that's defying age sort of expectations. Ovechkin is that guy. But I don't know. See, weird things can happen sometimes. It's too bad this Capitals team is old and probably needs to be dismantled, and they probably have to hit the big plunger reset. If not now, maybe one more year, but I don't know. So I'll watch the rest of the NHL playoffs, where the attendance numbers are wildly different city by city. And of course, in Canada, nobody can go. Think about how fucking crazy it is that just north of the border, with COVID-19 no different than what it is here in the States in terms of its actual makeup of what it can do to certain people of a certain age group with certain pre-existing conditions. It's the same virus. Mutants. What about the mutants and the variants? I think I saw there's a triple mutant, they said. Enough of this scaremongering bullshit. And they got vaccines in Canada, I've been led to believe, that they can get there. The response is so different than here in the States. Thank God that we have 50 different states. And thank God for Florida. And thank God for Texas. Although Texas kind of followed Florida. Who said, you know what? Fuck that. We're not doing this. This is nuts. Otherwise, we'd be just as locked down as the UK. Just as locked down as Canada right now. Anyway, Caps are out. I'll watch the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'll root for teams, especially at home, especially if there's a crowd. Let's get these crowds back up, everybody. Come on, come on. Sports is making a comeback. I think I might have a bourbon problem. Help me out here. How do you know when you have a bourbon problem? Because here's what happened with me over the weekend playing golf. Afternoon round, and I say, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. Wouldn't mind a cold beverage. Got my soft-sided cooler full of ice, full of Diet Cokes. I would like something. You know, I don't really drink beer anymore. I'm a bourbon guy. Let me go get that bottle of Gentleman Jack that was on our counter in our lodge at Pine Needles. Let me just go divert. I actually stopped on number one. I went, let me go drive right across the range. Almost got hit by a golf ball, but it didn't matter. I was on a bourbon mission. Got the half-drunk bottle of Gentleman Jack, put it in the cooler, and away we went. One hole later, I pour myself an ice-cold cup of it. Ice, bourbon. Oh, you're not supposed to put ice with it. Fuck you. Enjoy your bourbon how you want to enjoy your bourbon. I had some Diet Coke next to it. I was going to mix it. And I said, let me just drink this bourbon. Now, I was drinking bourbon on the rocks while playing golf, and it was magnificent. And I had one, and I had two. I had maybe three over the course of 18 holes, three pretty good pours. And I was feeling just fine. And I said to myself, wow, it's kind of surprising myself. I don't know, who is this guy? The next morning, Sunday morning, beautiful morning. Our weather was great. Second hole, I'm like, you know what? I asked my cart mate, I go, you know what? Is it wrong that I kind of want more bourbon at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning? You have a drinking problem. I didn't get blistered. I didn't lose my keys. I didn't go face down. I didn't sleep through my tea time. But I almost think, wow, I'm drinking bourbon too easily now. Daytime bourbon. Bourbon while playing golf, which I never would have thought. I might have a bourbon problem. If you think I do, let me know. If you think, oh, no, Zabe, you don't have a problem. You've got a wonderful thing. You've developed a real taste and affinity for bourbon, and you don't have to mix it with Diet Coke, which I used to do all the time. And people would say, oh, my God, you're wasting the delicious nectar. I will nip from it in ice, straight, even while playing golf. Kenny Mayne is going to interview Aaron Rodgers for something tonight. What will Aaron Rodgers say? Because the summer is going to get away from Aaron Rodgers pretty quickly. Rodgers drew a line in the sand by way of a leaked report that Adam Schefter said he got on his own, did not get fed this from Rodgers' agent or anyone else. I don't know if I believe that. But pretty much Rodgers blew up the draft hours before the thing began. Well, now, tick tock, tick tock. We're in our last week of May. June's going to come. There's a mandatory minicamp that he'll probably skip. Then we turn the page into July. July quickly becomes August. And then, uh-oh, what's going to happen? Will Aaron Rodgers say anything of note in his little appearance with Kenny Mayne on Monday night on Kenny Mayne's last show on SportsCenter? I think the answer is yes. Most people think, nah, he's not going to do anything. He's going to do some pre-recorded skit. He's going to wish him well in his next venture because they're boys. And that's that. Maybe he'll talk about whether or not he and Shailene got married while they were in Hawaii last week. But some people believe he's going to say nothing about his situation, nothing about the, quote, beautiful mystery, or whether he's unhappy or not. I don't know. I get a sense he's going to advance the narrative just a little bit more. Can you imagine, though, if we get to July and we get to training camp and he decides, you know what? I can't look like a bitch and just show up like, what? What's the problem? You guys read way too much into this. Of course I'm going to play football. No, I'm not that unhappy. I don't think Rodgers wants to look like a bitch. I don't think he's willing to do that. I think this could get very interesting. If Rodgers decides to go nuclear and, quote, retire, whether it be a fake Brett Favrean retirement or whether it be a Carson Palmer power play retirement, it's going to be something else. The Packers will be left in a total lurch for this season. They better pray to God Jordan Love can get spooled up very quickly. Rodgers is going to reckon with the wrath of the Packer fan base, which will not be on his side. Only a small percentage, I think, will be on his side in this situation. And then he's got to be prepared to go the distance in terms of sitting out possibly the whole season and forcing the Packers to trade him next offseason. I can't imagine he'll do that, but I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand. We'll see what he says on Monday night. One more A-Rod story. A-Rod, meaning the Alex Rodriguez A-Rod, apparently is going to have his own line of makeup for men. Well, that, my friends, is the most on-brand story I think I've ever heard. Go get your dad some Alex Rodriguez makeup for men for Father's Day next month and just see your dad's expression. In fact, that'll be a good TikTok. Buy it, wrap it up, start filming as your dad's opening, and he's like, what is this? Makeup? I'm a middle-aged married man with kids. What do I need makeup for? Makeup ain't going to make me look like A-Rod or have his bank account or have his dreamy Latin good looks. It's just going to be stupid. All right, let me finish on this story. It sounds awful. 21 die in Chinese ultra marathon that was suddenly struck by plunging temperatures, wind, and hail. Oh my God. I'm trying to figure out how did everyone die. I know some died of hypothermia, exposure. I think some people might have been blown off of the mountain where they were running this ultra marathon. Could some have been killed by falling hailstones? I have a morbid curiosity to how weather can kill 21 finely tuned athletes in an ultra marathon. It was a 100-kilometer cross-country event held in high altitude in Gansu province. The ultra marathon began in pleasant conditions, and many participants were lightly attired. Yeah, I only need these plastic shorts, these plastic neon running shorts, and maybe a tank top. I'll be fine. Next thing you know, temperatures plunge, strong wind, freezing rain, and hail. Oh my God. All right, I'll put a wrap on the golf trip. It was a great time had by all. Like I said, no arguments, no jail, no injuries, nobody died. That's always good. 19 years running now. I and two other guys that have made every trip. That'd be me, Screaming Eagle, and Cowboy Mike. 19 years of going down to Pine Needles, Mid Pines, Pinehurst, that area, Sand Hills, Sand Pines. It's a wonderful trip every May. 19 years. I think it might be over, though. What? Well, here's the thinking. A number of guys who have stopped coming on the trip that were part of the real core of the group. And by the way, every guy that stepped up and was part of this year's trip is absolutely good enough to come back next year. Can I guarantee them an invite? No, because there are limited spots. There's a few legacy guys that are like, I want back in. And they're going to be given sort of first priority. So I can't promise everybody, okay, you're all back in. Give me your money now if you want to hold your spot. I can't do that. But every one of them, good enough dudes for sure, to be back next year. But here's the thing about next year. A number of our original guys who haven't been on the trip in a long time, and many of us miss these guys because they're good guys and they just haven't come for various reasons. They say, oh, I'm going to be back for the 20th anniversary. Right. Why haven't you been back for 17, 18, 19? Yeah, life, this, that, injuries. I don't play anymore. Excuses. The 20th has got a problem in that the ladies, the U.S. Women's Open, is going to be held at Pine Needles on May 25th through June 1st of next year. Oh, shit. That is going to totally cock block us in that perfect window we have. So what do? Do we have it later? Do we have it earlier? Or do we go to someplace else down there? That's when one of the guys said, how about Myrtle? And because the bourbons were flowing late at night, I go, tell me more. And they say, how about instead of 5 rounds in 3 days, which is a lot of golf, 36, 36, 18, bing, bang, boom. How about we go 4 rounds in 4 days? Let's get down there Wednesday night and do 18 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and one more on Sunday, and then come home. That gives us more time to go out to maybe a nice restaurant or a bar and drink, to stay out late if we want, and come back late and sleep late. I'm liking all these lates, by the way. More time to screw around on the chipping green and maybe go to the range after we play and like, hey, what do you do there? How do you hit this shot? Just more time. Because it's only 18 a day. You play hard for 18 a day. A lot of golf in Myrtle to be had. A lot of options in Myrtle. I'm not familiar with how to do Myrtle properly. It's a lot of things, a lot of ways to go. Heard guys say, oh, we could rent, you know, a house and have everybody in a house, like an Airbnb. Others are saying you can fly to Myrtle. They've got good direct flights from a lot of different cities. And I'm like, this might be it. Now, this would effectively kill the Malcolm McLeod Memorial. We would retire the trophy and say it was good run while it happened. I would prevent it from happening for a 20th year. And that's when I started thinking, you know what? That's actually a good idea. Any trip that lasts 20 years at some point gets stale. So you kill it in the 19th year. You stab it in the gut. You go, haha, you thought you were going to make it to 20, huh? Boom! And then you start a new trip, a new tradition, a new format, not quite as much golf. And then when that thing, when the new Myrtle trip, four rounds in 4 days, fly in, fly out, don't play so much, when that gets to 19 years, you stab that in the gut. Hey, wait a minute. That's when you realize 19 more years. Shit. Be 71. Be lucky that I'll still be able to take the club back at this rate. That's when you start to get a little bit depressed. So I'm not going to think too much about that, but I am going to welcome any suggestions from people who are Myrtle Beach veterans when it comes to golf trips. The do's, the don'ts, the here's what you got to watch out for. If it's a horrible idea, let me know. If it's a great idea, let me know as well. But I had a great time. Thank you to everybody who came to the trip. A lot of, you know, good number of new guys who came to the trip. Almost all of the new guys I've had the last X number of years, they all come from this podcast. And it was fun to talk to them about podcasting, about who else they listen to and what they like about, you know, these other podcasts. And I'm honored and just humbled that they save time to listen to my silly little ramblings. And I hope that I was not in any way dismissive or, you know, some kind of pseudo big shot with them, because I just try to be a regular guy. I am a regular guy, for God's sakes. Now, I apologize. I threw some clubs this weekend, and I shouldn't have done that. But I didn't go on any extended volcanic rants. I was sick of being quick and tight and over the top. Quick and tight and over the top. Jesus, I did it again. So anyway, great weekend. Thank you to Pine Needles, Mid Pines, for having us. Bill Gilmore, you're out there, buddy. You're the best. He's our host down there. You know, he's tried to retire now for several years. Who knows how many more years he's going to be there? Probably time to move on for us anyway. But I recommend those courses very highly. But maybe it's time to turn the page. All right, that's it. My God, 41 minutes uninterrupted. And that's not a terrible list of things that I talked about today on the podcast. Long drive, I-95, a shit show as always, just south of Fredericksburg. I have no idea why it always is, but it is. The trophy, the Malcolm Trophy, is unpacked. The Ram 1500, the most glorious truck on the market, was a great cruising truck to take down there. Rode like a cloud, so comfortable. The truck was great. And the trophy is unpacked. Everything is unpacked. The trophy is back on my shelf in my bar. I've taken a shower. The podcast is now done. It's about to be uploaded. And it's not even 11:30 tonight. So I'm going to get a good 6 hours with my CPAP machine from CPAP RX. Wake up and do the show again on 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. And I cannot wait. Sports is fucking back. Take that, Team Virus. Here comes sports for a glorious 2 months in summer that will be unlike anything we've ever had because of the schedule shift. It's going to be great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Have a great Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time. With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, We're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.